was he was advocating that a woman's hair was a veil, that it had to be a covering for her head, and that it needed to be long enough to cover her head. So he said, if a woman in this meeting, he said, if a woman can comb her hair down long enough to cover her whole head, you know, in other words, if you combed it all the way around and your hair, you know, came down, at least this down to here, and your head was covered up, nobody could see you. Called what? Pate. Yeah, I remember that now. Anyway, he was saying, brethren, we need to get a conclusion on how women's hair are to be. Because some men were teaching that you can't cut it. In fact, that's how I taught it. When I came into the body, I was a doozy. I taught you can't cut it, period. Not even dead ends off of it. Didn't I, Sister York? I was hard. I didn't even let them cut their dead ends off. And yeah, well, we were, you know, we were, well, we used that scripture in the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians where it says, doesn't nature itself teach you that a woman ought to have long hair and that it's her glory and that if she prays with her head uncovered, it's a shame. And it says that if she be shaven, she might as well be shorn. I used that scripture like that. And there's a good picture. Here's the picture I used. I said, look, the hair of a woman, it's a picture of the Spirit of God coming under the God's authority. And you just let God's authority keep growing in your life. And just let it keep covering your life. And don't ever cut his authority off. That's how I taught it. Don't ever trim that back. Just let it grow. Come under, you know, just submit. The church ought to submit to that. Well, that's a good message to preach it that way. I remember, when I preached all that, I never had been a woman. I never had to. I mean, I messed with my duck tail, but I never had to do with what all y'all have had to do with. And all those other things. But that was a manifestation of my spirit, the way I wore my hair. Even, you know, I'm sure every society, it takes on some custom. It's accepted in that society. There's things that are radical that society frowns at on both sides. You can go too far. You know, when the Beatles came in, I thought their hair was horrible looking. Even my young age, I thought they looked horrible. Looked like girls. I hated them. I didn't like them at all. It was touching a younger generation than me. You know, but I did, finally, some of their songs grew on me. But, you know, I couldn't hardly tell you. I can tell you what some of them are. I mean, I can tell you a few phrases in some of them. But it didn't get a hold of me like Elvis Presley and Jerry Lee Lewis, guys like that. You know, those were popular when I was a boy. And that was a manifestation of our spirit and our thinking. And so anyway, Brother Souders, he was telling us, he was trying to at least come up with a minimum standard for women's hair that they could, if they could make it into a veil over their face that and cut it there, that would be good enough. And I know you women that's been around here a long time, you've seen women with hair. Reva, your hair's been down plumb to your ankles before, hadn't it? Nearly, or not that long, but way down. I've seen it really long, their knees. And I know Sister Leniger, she had terrible headaches. They couldn't get any relief for her headaches. finally, Brother Leniger said that the Lord showed him that it was her heavy, long hair. And he made her cut it to a certain length. And her headaches went away. I think he had her cut it right at the small of her back. And her headaches went away. Some of y'all bound to remember that testimony about him telling about that. And anyway, I remember we discussed this for 3 days. And I remember Brother Clyde Patton got up in that meeting. And he said, Brother Souders, he was very humble and meek about it. He said, Brother Souders, you've always been in here. You grew up in here. But he said, there's men like me that's sitting here listening to this. And said, you're scaring us. Said, we came in from out there. He said, I came up in the Assemblies of God. And said, they had a deep covering and great anointing on those preachers back in the beginning. God was with them in a great way, and they preached holiness and sanctification and a strong standard for the people of God to dress by. He said, but finally, little by little, they begin to relax that and let the world, more and more the world came in. I remember where I got the Holy Ghost in La Porte, Texas, under J.B. Lenny in the Assembly of God Church. I mean, Brother Lenny, he had three boys that were right within 6 months of the same ages of me and my brothers. And my dad, he wasn't faithful in church, but my mother was. Dad would get in, but he couldn't hardly stay in. He was an alcoholic, the reason. He just couldn't beat that habit that had a control of his life. He was what I would call a controlled alcoholic. He worked every day. He didn't get drunk. He just drank enough of it to keep keep the DTs from taking him over. You know, in other words, he was hooked on it and addicted to it, but he controlled it enough that he didn't let it. And he did things that people didn't even know he was drinking. He could drink a fifth of whiskey every day, and you didn't even know he's drinking. He'd hide it. But mother was very faithful in church, and of course, dad, he had enough of fear of God. He made us boys go. Well, we became friends with Brother Lenny's boys because we were about the same age. Well, they used to love to come home with us on Sundays between services. Or if they could spend the weekend, they used to beg us to ask our parents if they could spend the night with us. Come over, because we had a TV. And they didn't have no TV. That Brother Lenny wouldn't dare let them kids watch a TV. And I've been through all of that. You know, you go back, nobody in my church in the body had a TV for many years, except, I mean, the ones that hid it. I mean, people would tell me, say, we went over to so-and-so's house. We could hear voices going on. And the lights, we'd knock on the door, and it'd get quiet. Silent inside, and then you could see a big light go off, and you could see somebody carrying something out into another room, and it'd take them 4 or 5 minutes to get to open the door to us. So I knew I knew they had a TV. I never will forget I think one time somebody got a little bitty TV with a little antenna. And Michael, they were caught under the covers had the covers over their head and had that little TV and is in there watching that little TV. And anyway, you know, when you, but Brother Patton, he said, Brother Souders, you're scaring us. He said, we watched the world come in, that group of people, and we watched them lose the Spirit of God out of their midst. And he said, you're scaring us. Said, when I got here, said, I love this holiness that I found. You people were clean. You were keeping the world out of your lives. I'd go in your homes. I could feel God's presence in your house. And I could feel the Lord. And I felt Him in here. And I saw this great covering y'all had. And he said, you're scaring us. He said, I don't want us to lose this. And wild brothers, if you'd had to been there, but if you'd have been there, you could have felt the covering of God with Brother Patton's talk. And the Lord just moved in, and you could just feel this is the answer. This is God's answer on this. Don't do what y'all are talking about doing. And it ended, that ended that discussion about that in that meeting, even though we never did come up with coming to an understanding of how long's long. And but ministers have made some adjustments over the years, but I don't think we ought to ever adjust enough that we lose holiness standards. And so anyway, that a church in the body has been trying to adjust. And let me say this in defense of the pastor, that I really believe I've talked to this pastor several hours in more than one occasion, and I really believe he's sincerely trying to locate God because and there's a danger right there. There's a danger when God begins to show you something that you need to make a change. See, when you give up something that you believe and you start to make a change on something, there's a whole lot of ground out there of where you're going to settle on your change. And unless God really helps you, you're in a good place if God's trying to get you to change, but you're also in a dangerous place. And that's why it's counsel's good. There's safety in a multitude of counsel. If we ever get, it's one of the things that I learned in here. If you ever get big enough, that are so big that you forget where you came from, and men can't talk to you, or men can't reason with you. There's a scripture on that in 1 Samuel. You remember what God said to, or Samuel said it to Saul. Said, when you were small in your own eyes. Let's see. Let's look at that. I think it's in the 1 Samuel. Is that in the 15? 1 Samuel 15? Yeah. In the 17th verse, said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? But he got too big, where he wouldn't listen to God, he wouldn't listen to the prophet of God, and he'd done things that God told him not to do. But you're getting into dangerous place when you get to a place that you're not little in your own eyes. You don't realize it. I'm just a nobody. If God hadn't have touched my life, I'm just a sinner. I'm wretched. I'm full of things that are wrong. My mind, my heart, my spirit. But if I realize that and I'll stay little, God can help me and He can change my life. He can change. You can let things hinder you. You can let situations in your life hinder you to a place that, God can't work in your life. You can make every kind of excuse in the world, but it's just not yielding over to God enough, or not having enough stamina and strength and faithfulness working in your life to not let things hinder you from being faithful to God and presenting yourself to Him. That's one of the things it takes to serve God to change. It takes faithfulness. You got to be faithful. And you've got to trust God. That's another thing you've got to do. You're going to go through things in this life. I don't care who you are. You're going to go through things in this life where you're going to lose control. God will see to it. He doesn't always make it happen, but He takes advantages of what does happen and uses that to try to help His people to learn how to trust Him and depend on Him. Then you cannot trust man. One of the things that Brother Liniger tried to really instill in his last years is that you can't trust any man. Not fully. Not 100%. You can trust God 100%. You can trust Jesus 100%. He won't fail you. But you cannot trust man. Because we've got sin is working in our lives, and we're still have carnal areas in our lives, and we'll fail at times. And there's times, you know, there's a scripture that says, a just man falleth 7 times. But God, but he rises again. I think that scripture just means if you're just, you'll fall. In other words, when God starts dealing with you in every area that God deals with you in, you have to see yourself a failure. You've got to see that you're a fallen condition. But you'll rise if you hold on to God. If you're just, if you'll stay just before God, He'll lift you up out of that. If you'll hold on to God and trust God, He'll lift you up out of it. And learning how to trust Him is so important. And learning how to be at peace with your trust in God. You're going to go, I'm going to tell you, you and I both, we will go through things where our friends, our loved ones, they'll fail us in certain areas. But you have to learn how to put your trust in God. And you still have to love your brother and your sister and your friends and your family. You still have to love them, but don't put all your trust in them. Put your trust in God. Then I've learned this as a pastor. Now here's what I've done wrong as a young pastor. I used to watch over God's people. Everybody listen to what I'm saying right here. I used to watch over God's people like a hawk. If you didn't do what I preached, I would beat you to death over this pulpit. I'd run you up a flagpole, and I'd rail and strike at you, and I'd beat on you. And I'm ashamed of that, but I had good teachers. You know, it's something that we did in this body. We learned how to deal with people. I mean, y'all know that. Y'all come to church and listen to different preachers run, you know, deal work on you. You know, you'd say, who's he working on? Who's he talking about? As a matter of fact, that's happened so much about us that you can't hardly get up and talk anymore without y'all still wondering, who is he talking about? I just want you to know something tonight. I'm not running nobody up a flagpole. I quit doing that. There's some times that I've got enough wisdom and knowledge that I know I'm hitting things sometimes, but I know when God's helping me, and I know when I'm just talking. You know, I know if the Spirit of God's helping or if it's just me, it's my spirit, which ain't going to accomplish anything, but is. But I used to run people off by trying to hold too tight a reins on them. The best way to get your kids to leave home, run off, leave you, and never want to have nothing to do with you? Just put your thumb on them and don't ever trust them. I don't care. You say, well, they done wrong. They're not worthy of trust. You'll never build trust in them by showing them untrust. You have to work with them, but you have got to trust them again. If you don't, you're in bondage to that. You'll become in bondage to trying to be their policeman, and you become that begins to puts you in a prison. Preachers do that. Preachers are in prison, watching, trying to police over their people. I don't know what y'all are doing on Friday nights or Thursdays, or I don't know what some of you are doing right now, but I'm not trying to fix all that. I know there's a God in heaven. You belong to Him. You belong to Jesus and God the Father, and He knows how to chastise His own children. And all my job is to try to preach the Word of God and deliver my heart and see after the people of God properly. I know that ministers are they are God uses them. It's part of the order of God's kingdom. But they can overstep their boundaries. They can not let people grow up. If you keep your thumb on your kids, they never will become adults. They never will. You'll never, in your eyes, they never will grow up. They'll always be kids. That's hard on parents. It's hard for parents to let their kids grow up. It's been hard on me with Michael. He's my son. He's my boy. But I have learned some things in the last several years. I've been working on it. I haven't batted 100 yet. But I have learned that he can teach me some things. There's things that he's got in his life that he's interested in that I never was interested in, that he learns things that I didn't learn, and he tells me about it. I grew up under a teaching and a fatherhood and a family that fathers could never not know what their sons know. You got to always know more than them. You always got to be stronger than them. You always got to be able to beat them and everything. I grew up like that, so I had a lot to work on. It's fathers that are able to find a better balance to that, and not try to be so. Kids see that. They know you've got that problem in your life. My dad had it, and I have it too. And I ask people all the time, I say, how many of y'all said you was never going to do the things your mom and daddy done, the things that you hated that they done, and then now you catch yourself doing them, and it makes you so mad? I know it makes me mad too. Anyway, I appreciate the Spirit of God. That's the thing that I wanted to mention, was God is, He moves in on this. It's because it's something He started. And we may go a long ways trying to locate what it is that God's wanting, or how He's directing this body. But in a little while, He'll come in and show Himself. And He's never failed to do that. And I'm so thankful for that. I'm appreciative of the Spirit of God that's leading us, and that we've learned something about not being able to make judgments very strong until Jesus shows up and gives something. Just like I'm mentioning how He showed up the last day in this meeting, and we got some good things. And it doesn't always matter who God uses. That's not the important thing. But it's important that God talks to us. And that's one of the things that I was talking to the Father about coming home. I was just telling him about my condition and the condition of the body. And I was telling him how much we needed his help and how much we need him to make room for him to dwell in us. The Holy Ghost can be in you, but you can have it so choked down that it can't hardly function. And I was telling God, I want to make more room for your house. I want to make this abode a bigger place. I want to get to know you better. I want you to get to know me better. I mean, really know me. You know, I know God knows me. He sees the hair on my head. He knows something about my spirit. That says something about me. But he can watch everything else about our spirit. That your intellect, that's what you're made up of. Is God created us. There's a nature. God's nature is creation. Works by his nature. He started it and is still working. He allows it. I don't think God has to do one thing. You can take a seed and you can put a seed in the ground and you can water it, and most of the time it'll come up. God don't have to do nothing. He don't even have to look at it. It's already in the works. I remember when Michael and Cindy got married. Me and Sister Smith, you know, we was wondering about, you know, if they thought about, you know, having a family. We finally couldn't take it any longer, so we asked them, "What are y'all doing? You know, are y'all doing any kind of planning?" Or, well, they had a good answer. They said, "Well, we talked to Sister Patton and asked her what she done." And she said she just prayed a lot. I said, "Dear God, they asked Sister Patton. She's 60 years old." She was a young woman, you know, back then, about as old as I am now. But she was too old to be asking how to start out, you know, planning a family and when you wanted to have one and how to go about it. They just was going to pray a lot. Of course, I know they knew more about it than that. That was just their answer to us. I guess they just wanted to watch us go into a spin of some kind. But we did get to thinking that they... How come he tell this? Don't let me help me get back to where I was at. Oh, yeah, I told them that little deal about putting a seed in the ground and watering it. I said, "You can forget about praying. You don't have to pray when you put a seed in the ground and water it. It's going to come up." And I said, "You can bank on it." Brother Green says, there's an old man over in Samanon, the Dominican Republic, used to say, "You can bet it." Well, you can bet it if you want to. That's going to... Anyway, well, they probably was just praying about it because they was just married 11 months when Andrew showed up. And then I don't think it was another year. She's already pregnant again, wasn't you? She had a miscarriage. Anyway, but I can remember Michael coming to me one time, and he said, "Daddy, pray." I said, "I told you, there's no sense in praying about that." He said, "Pray anyway." he already had to. He wanted to pray. You know, pray that this is not happening. Anyway, you get smarter as you get older, you know. Some things you don't need to pray about. Some things you better pray. And here's the thing. There is things God can help you with. I mean, he rolled back the sun. You know, I mean, if all you got left is praying drought, you know, if that's all you can do, go ahead and pray, even though you know it's going to take rolling the sun back for 2 hours to change this. Anyway, oh God. But back on a serious note, let's see if I can get on a serious note here. Oh, we're serving. Saints, we're serving a great God. And I'll sit down with this. There is a place that He can abide in you. And He's not abiding in any of us the way He wants to. And there is an abiding in Him that we can arrive. We can locate. That we haven't located yet fully. We touch it. We embrace it at times. Those moments that we cherish and those services we've been in where we abode in it for a while. But there's a place. They that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the children of God. And Jesus said in the 15th chapter of St. John, He said, if you abide in Me, and My words abide in you. It'll take God's words abiding in us because that's what transforms us. It renews our mind. It's quickened by the Holy Ghost. And it causes us to begin to think like Him, and it changes our spirit. And I don't think you don't have to be in, you know, a place where you're going, you know, whoo, you know, you don't have to be so mystical. You can be of sound mind and be in the Spirit. I know there's a abiding in Him, and I know that this nature of the old man, we need to keep this old man under control until God finishes this work that He's working in us. And there's only so much we can do. We can only stay just. We can only accomplish. You can't make yourself perfect. There's a God has to give us that permit, doesn't He? And then the Scripture say that, and this will we do if God permits. He's got to open the door. We've got to have a permit to go on further in God than where we're at. But I want to be able to step in that door when it opens. When God makes a way for me to go further in Him, I want to be able to go. I want to be right there saying, Lord, I'm waiting. I'm doing all I know to do. And if you'll encourage me or make a way for me to go a little further, I'll do my best to do it. Praise God. This is not, saints, you young people, listen to me. This is not what you can't do. This gospel is not a gospel of what you cannot do. But it's a gospel of abiding in God, Spirit, and Him abiding in you, and you embracing and learning and I'm trying to think of the word that I'm to for you to take hold of the things of God, focus on. Make room in your life. If you're not careful, you're just going, the world. You know how much the world's got gravity. It's got such a hold on people. And the society we're living in, it's hard to break out of the norm. You have to really discipline yourself. And that's all we're doing. As a people of God, we're just saying, we know that if we let too many Elvis Presleys and the Beatles and all of the different ways of the world come into our life, and our life gets so full of all of that, there's no room for God. And we don't have time for Him. And we can't move into Him either. But it takes coming out of all that, realizing it's of the flesh, it's carnal, it's man's mind, man's life, man's way of doing things. And you have to make up your mind, God, I'm going to serve You. I'm going to seek Your face. And I'm going to do things that keeps the world from hindering me. You know how the world dresses, you young people. You know, all these rings in people's noses and studs in their tongues and all these rings in their... You know what that's for? They're saying, somebody please notice me. Somebody look at me. I'm making myself look like an idiot. So somebody will recognize me. That's what they're saying. Or they're saying, I don't know why I'm doing what I'm doing, but it's what everybody else is doing. And I want to be a part. You're just being a part of what the world's doing that's not going to amount to nothing. Just go back in society. You'll never see old people gives all that up. You know why? Because they realize it's a bunch of baloney. There's nothing to it. Go back in society. You'll never find people that are 40, 50, 60 years old except for a few nuts. There's a few nuts in the world. I walked by one of them yesterday. I pulled up and went into a McDonald's. There sat an old man sitting there in McDonald's with a McDonald's hamburger. He had a beard hanging down to here. His britches, he hadn't had them off in 3 days. He was an old beatnik from way back. I don't know if he changed clothes or took a bath since the 60s. His beard, he hadn't shaved since, and his hair was that long. And I looked at him. I walked by him. I was tempted to sit over there and just kind of watch him. But I said, I'm not going to do that. I got my hamburger and I went the other way. I said, I'm not giving that not a moment of my time. Because I know what that spirit's of. I'm not going to entertain my mind with something like that. You know, I'm kind of one of those guys just like to know what people, you know, makes them tick. But I just knew he got caught up somewhere. I mean, the only reason I'd want to give him any of my time is talk to him about Jesus. And help him to know there's a way out of there. There's something that's greater than that. And but if we can sanctify, that's what the word sanctify or holy means. Or a saint. It means someone that God has separated unto himself through a new birth. And that you keep yourself separated from the world and you begin to work on this new birth of the Holy Ghost and begin to seek Him and focus on what can I do that's righteous, that's eternal, that'll last forever, that has true joy and peace and happiness and health. What can I do that'll bring all of that? Hallelujah. And if we'll focus on that and seek God. Somebody else said in this meeting, I want to quote this. They said, if you'll read your Bible, in fact, they said they heard this in Little Rock. I remember it being said when they said it. Said, if you'll read your Bible 30 minutes every morning and 30 minutes every night, you'll read the whole book every month. I guess that's probably for an average reader. But the thing about it is, if we just read it, if we'd read it every day, we'd focus enough. We'd read it through often enough that it would have a greater effect on our lives. You young people, read your Bible. Get in the Bible. Start reading it. And Sister Tally gave me a paper where Leanna had sent her a letter, and it had a lot of, she's quoting the Bible, writing down scriptures. That touched me. Thought, you know, she didn't get that in there. Keep praying for her. She's God's child. Keep praying that God will touch her and help her. And we all need help, more help. In fact, let me end this right here with prayer. Let's take prayer here tonight. Remember, my mother, my wife's home with mom. She just seems like she's really getting unstable in just the last few months. There's a change in her. We've noticed that, and it's just making her more inactive and more unstable. Even, you know, on her feet, she's getting real unstable. And so remember her, and then Sister Jackie Tucker. I was mentioning some of these elderly ones We know that hospice has come in with her, and that she's, you know, if the Lord doesn't do something, her time is short. And Sister Rice, God's, you know, Sister Rice's life is, she's fighting sickness all the time. I don't know if everyone heard, but he's saying that they're saying call before you come. They don't want you know, people just to come out because of her condition. Yeah, they don't want to turn you away at the door and tell you she can't see you. So I said, please call for her before you go, if you go to see her. And then Sister Wilkins, she's always fighting this allergies and sinus problems and bronchial troubles that she has. So let's keep our elderly saints lifting them up in prayer. Who? Oh, Sister Rice, yes. I mentioned her. She's having health problems all along. We need to remember her in prayer. Then remember, keep praying for Brother Bobby Lukes. He's been working for me, coming faithful on Sundays quite a bit. And he even mentioned the other night that he's going to come out on, said, I'm thinking about coming out there on Wednesday night some. So just keep praying for him. And keep praying for the churches in our area. I've been trying to figure out how to visit them more often. It's just so difficult to do everything we need to do nowadays. In the Republic Church, Brother Michael's got, he's going to go show his house Friday. It looks like somebody may be really serious about buying it, may be sold. So pray that God will help him get that done. And Brother Jacob, Sister Terry Durham are really wanting to sell their house, and it's been shown a lot here just recently. But he's also needing a job down here. He's not able to find, hadn't been able to find any interviews or anything that is comparable to what he's doing. He's willing to take a cut in pay, but, you know, he needs to make a living. And so pray, keep praying for the people in Republic situation up there. Let's keep them in our prayers. Yes, Brother York's really been sick with his stomach. I guess it's his, what do they call that? He's got a hiatal hernia, and he has this acid reflux real bad. And so keep praying for him. He's been sick several days now. Who else here do we need to pray for? Sister Wallace? Brother Wallace, all right. All right, let's remember that. Brother McGowan's sick. He's not been well much lately, so let's keep praying for him. Sister Oates. All right. Keep praying for Brother Danny Beckwith, hey? Huh? Yeah, he's looks like he may get a job in Brinkley, down here in Brinkley, but he may have to, if he lives close enough to come to church, he may have to live in North Little Rock and commute or something, or be a pretty good drive for him. But, well, I think he's, it maybe a job just a few months there, and then there's another school in another little town that he'd be working in for three, I think it's 3 months in each place. But school days, yeah, there you go. It's 90 school day contracts, two of them in two different towns. So pray that that the Lord would be able to work in their lives in a greater way than he's been able to here lately. All right, Spencer? Huh? Okay, or Sister Karen's foot, let's remember that. Okay, Brother Joel wants prayer. Let's remember that. Anyone else? Brother Tyrone. All right. All right, we all need prayer, don't we, Sister Rachel? All right, let's remember that. Pray a job open up for Brother Dave Ratliff, too. Yeah, let him know. Brother Matt. All right, they're needing, they need to get a home for these girls when they get here. We're going to have a couple more members in the church before long. We want to take good care of them. All right, let's stand. The ushers will come, we'll take up an offering and receive the midweek offering. Had several out over the weekend. Everybody that was gone last weekend and you're back, welcome back, including me. I'm glad to be back. All right, let's ask the Lord. Precious Savior. Oh, God, we love you, Lord, and appreciate your goodness and mercy. Oh, God, touch your saints here in this assembly. The elderly first, we ask you to help them. Sister Tucker and Sister Rice, Sister Wilkins. Oh, God, touch these others that have needs in their life. Lord, I know you know every need that's been mentioned here, Jesus. Oh, God, help us, Lord. Mainly let us get closer to you, Lord. Oh, God, work your work in our lives, and even in a greater way, Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Blessed Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Praise your wonderful name. Praise your name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. All right.
Well, since I found the church and I found a place to pray. found a better way.
Sunday morning.
All right.
God bless your heart. Shake hands and be friendly.
But we